Hello, and welcome into another edition of Find the Edge with Nick and Cody, coming at you with our Week 11 recap and our Week 12 preview for the NFL slate. My boy Cody, hot off a 4-1 week. How are you feeling today, buddy?
Oh, man, 4-1 week, but definitely got pretty lucky to get there. But after the bad luck that we've had throughout some of the season, got to be happy with that for sure. But doing well. You know, it's, again, another busy week at work, so unfortunately did not get the recordings in that we normally would like to. But coming at you Thursday night, it'll be released basically right after we finish, hopefully a little bit before Sunday night or Thursday night football kicks off. But doing pretty well. Excited for this week. We have a little bit of a smaller slate with there being six teams on a bye. So got to really narrow down those picks, a little bit less options to choose from. But excited, ready to roll, and hopefully keep the winning ways up to 27 and 28 on the season. So looking for looking to get either at or above 500 this week with a 3-2 or better week. So looking forward to it. How you doing?
Doing okay. 30-25 myself on the year, coming off a 2-3 week. Unfortunately, I could have used some of the good fortune you had. A couple bad breaks, a couple bad bets. Let's run through it real quick since it's Thursday already. I don't want to spend too much time on the Week 11 recap because no one really cares anymore. But quickly, I'll start with my first. That's Detroit minus 13.5. The score at the end of the game was 52-6, and it could have been even worse than that. This was one of the easiest covers I have had all season. This one worked out. Some later ones didn't, but we cashed Detroit very easily.
Yeah, not too much that has to be said about that one. That was just a complete thrashing by the Lions, absolutely. My first one, definitely where the luck started, Rams minus 4.5 at the Patriots. Honestly, not the complete domination that I was kind of expecting out of the Rams, a little bit of a back and forth, but luckily just was on the right side of a really good Matthew Stafford game, and then the turnovers on the Patriots side. They had one interception, and Drake May also had a fumble. But those were really the only two key stats where the Rams beat the Patriots. The Patriots, I think, were better on third down. They were better, really all around. Besides red zone efficiency and turnovers, the Patriots played a really good game and basically had to sweat this one down to the end. But Rams ended up pulling it through for us. So thank you, Matthew Stafford, for that one. Because, like I said, without him, with most quarterbacks back there, probably looking at a loss on this one. So felt lucky on that for sure.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm thinking the Rams were the right side here. I get where you're saying from a statistical standpoint, doesn't really look like the Rams dominated. You can even argue, like you said, that this the Patriots had a couple areas where they were better, but they were chasing points for the whole fourth quarter. It was 28-13 in the third. What you get with, you said, you know, the Rams had better red zone efficiency. That's what you get when you have a better quarterback at the end of the day. That's usually a quarterback-driven stat. And, you get what you pay for when you bet on Matthew Stafford versus Drake May in one of his first few starts. I thought he looked pretty impressive, but Stafford, like you said, four touchdowns was the difference. So good bet on your part. I wish I had put it in instead of my first loss of the day. That's Cleveland plus 1.5. Got a little cute here, to be honest, betting on a 2-7 Browns team on the road as an only 1.5-point dog. But even though the final score was 35-14, I think this was basically a coin flip game. Dustin Hopkins missing a couple chip shot field goals in the first half definitely did not help my case. I don't know if you saw the sequence at the end of the first half. Absolutely wild stuff. He missed a 28-yard field goal. There was an offsides, I believe. Then they kept got them a first down. They got stopped again. That is a 27-yard field goal. Misses that as well. Absolutely incredible stuff. But at the end of the day, the Saints kind of blew it open late, but this was basically a coin flip, and coin flips aren't profitable, so I can't really be upset about it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it felt like those two missed kicks just changed the momentum of that game. The Browns did come out and tie it up at the beginning of the second half, but yeah, I mean, the Saints basically took over after that Brown score to basically kick off the second half of the game, and yeah, that's a rough one. This is the one I would say I got the most lucky on, this over 44.5 in this game. was basically looking dead. The Browns turn it over on downs in Saints territory towards the end of the game. And luckily, Taysom Hill breaks off a 75-yard run for a touchdown where, you know, no one would have been expecting it at that point in the game. You'd expect a couple of runs, maybe a punt, maybe get the first down and be able to kneel the ball out. Luckily, Taysom Hill is just one of the most athletic quarterbacks outside of Lamar Jackson in the NFL. And he was able to basically just take a little, you know, run up the left side and take it all the way home. So that one was definitely by far the luckiest one, but ended up cashing. Like I said, we've been on plenty of the other sides of that, so not going to feel bad about it, but over 44.5, definitely, you know, feels good to be on the right side of it, but extremely, extremely lucky.
Yeah, watching that end sequence, you could say it was lucky in that sense because, like, yeah, I mean, if you would have been betting on the game live, the over-under, you know, would have been like, you know, half a point or something because you would not have expected any points to be scored at that point. But looking at the statistical profile, I think was done here for sure. 443 total yards for the Browns, 473 for the Saints. This was an offensive game. It was up and down in the first half. The missed field goals didn't help your case either.
Right.
Obviously, one of those going in would have had the number before the long touchdown at the end. So, again, this is another one where, yeah, you might have gotten lucky in the sense that it looked like it wasn't going to cash, but it was the right side to be on.
For sure.
Both of us on my next one, Pittsburgh +3.5. That was like you could have just replayed any Pittsburgh-Baltimore game the last 5 years, and I wouldn't have been able to tell which one it was, and it just looked like basically all of them do. So Lamar just struggles in Pittsburgh. It's been pretty consistent throughout his career. And +3.5 was really never in doubt. We were kind of sweating a cover at the end because I had threes. That's the only number that I could get. So I was a little worried about that. But yeah, so I was worried about a push in that sense. But otherwise, +3.5 was the right side all the way.
Yep, absolutely. Love being able to teach people about football who are like new to fantasy or maybe like just didn't start watching the NFL as early as we did. But one of my buddies he started Russell Wilson in fantasy last week. And I was like, dude, you gotta know the Baltimore Steelers rivalry. Like there's just not going to be points put up in that game. And he learned a harsh lesson on that one. But, you know, from a betting perspective, honestly, it felt like we were on the right side for most of this game. Obviously, the Steelers didn't convert a single touchdown, so that was a little bit worrisome. But luckily, Chris Boswell was able to bang home all of his field goals, and the two-point at the end from the Ravens did not convert either. So ended up being able to cover this one. And then I'll just go ahead and jump into mine because it was in the same game, under 48.5. Don't have much to say about this one. Way too high of a number. Never even came close. Exactly. Like you said, you could replay any Steelers Ravens game from the past whatever many years you want to go back to, and almost all of them are hitting this under. So, great play. It was one of my favorite bets of the week, one of my biggest bets of the week. So happy to see that one come through and never really even had to sweat it.
Yeah, and you could argue that we got a little lucky with the kicker situation in this game versus the other ones. So, you know, it all balances out in the end to some degree. But honestly, in this game, Tucker missing those field goals could have potentially screwed us, because if it would have been 18-16 with Baltimore driving at the end, they're not running their 2-minute offense and scoring a touchdown there. They're going to sit on the ball past the 30-yard line and just win the game on the kick. We cover either way in that situation, whereas we were just worrying about overtime, Baltimore getting the ball first and scoring a touchdown. That was the only way we lose +3.5, but Cody, can you still hear me?
Yep.
Okay, sorry. My internet went a little wild there for a second. But anyway, so at the end of the day, the kicking actually didn't matter. It ended up almost hurting us somehow. The opposing kicker not making his field goals ended up almost screwing our +3.5 because of that. But anyway, I just wanted to – I'm going to vent about Evan McPherson in a little bit. So I'm just setting the stage for that. Go ahead with your next one. Was that your fourth?
That was my fourth, yep.
Okay, let me do KC Buffalo under 46.5. This was not the best. This is probably my worst read of the day here. I almost got lucky at the end. If Josh Allen, instead of running in that touchdown, had just gotten the first down, there would have been a very good chance that Buffalo could have just run the clock out and taken knees, and then they wouldn't have had a score. But The offenses were just a little more productive than I anticipated, especially Buffalo. 30 points. KC hadn't given up 30 points in, what was it, 28 straight games or something like that?
Yep.
It was a very big number. So, yeah, that came to an end. You got to give them credit. They came out and played a pretty good game. There really isn't much else to it. There wasn't a lot of turnovers. They're pretty efficient on four third downs. The Bills were 9 of 15, Chiefs 5 of 10. So drives just got sustained, and this wasn't the best read. So sometimes you get caught, but I'd probably play the number again if they played a game later in the year. Just these two teams just kind of have to be perfect on offense to beat this number.
Yep, absolutely. My fifth one, my only loser of the week, Seahawks at 49ers, had the Niners -6.5. Honestly, just a letdown on the offensive side for the Niners. I was very locked into the Bills KC game, so I caught some of it on Red Zone, but wasn't paying as much attention to it. Definitely one I want to go back and watch, because I know I've been a big believer in this Niners team. Doesn't really feel like they are the same as they had been in years past, and now we have the Nick Bosa injury as well to kind of factor into their team. And then I don't know. I this game didn't really do a whole lot for me on the Seahawks side either, just because a late Geno Smith scramble into the end zone to win it. I don't know. I still feel like the Seahawks team is a little bit fluky, but ended up losing this one. Again, the Niners offense just didn't show up for me today. I expected them to have a much better performance. So rough loss, but again, got lucky in the other game. So 4-1 week, never going to be overly upset about it.
Yeah, the late week Kittle injury, I think, is a really big deal here. They're a completely different team without him.
True.
Should be back this week. That's a little bit of a foreshadowing for you later. But Purdy just played a really bad game at the end of the day. 5.7 yards per attempt, 159 yards. Only sacked twice. Wasn't pressured a ton. And he just didn't make up for it. They had 40 yards and a score on the ground, so that's nice. But, yeah, Kittle, I think it's a big deal. Without Ayuk, he is, one of their main downfield threats. I don't think Debo's right now either. Jennings operates more in the short area. So Kittle's actually really important to their offense right now. And he helps blocking. So I think McCaffrey suffers without him as well. So I think he makes really a very large difference. So we'll talk about that game later though. My last one, Cincinnati +1.5. Hard for me to be too upset about losing a +1.5 when I was down 18 at half, but the Bengals do Bengals things. They tied the game before the fourth quarter even began. And then Evan McPherson just went ahead and ruined all my hopes and dreams. Missed two very makeable field goals in the fourth quarter. If he makes either or both, if he makes both, we cover for sure, because then it's Chargers going down to score a touchdown and go up by one, and then the 1.5 plays. Or if he makes one of the two, the Bengals aren't just – they're not going to let Dobbins score that touchdown at the end of the game. Rather than, they'd be playing more conservatively and actually playing defense. And I think we would have gone to overtime, and then it's a coin flip at that point. But couldn't make one of them for me. So another coin flip game that I lost. But again, coin flips are not profitable, and that's kind of what this was at the end of the day. So, can't be too upset.
Yep, absolutely. Well, week 11's in the books. Ready to attack week 12. You ready to get it started?
Yeah, let's do it.
Cool.
You want to touch on the Thursday night game real quick? I know you you like it, so I'll let you maybe talk. It's Pittsburgh at Cleveland. Steelers 3.5-point road faves. Over-under down to a disgusting 36.5. Stat of the game, since 2018, AFC North underdogs 48-31, 61% against the spread. Cody, go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, just want to reiterate, it's important if you're not already, make sure you follow our Facebook group and me on Twitter as well, or X, whatever you like to call it. Because this, just because we're recording on a Thursday as opposed to a Wednesday. So, this will probably get out a little bit before Thursday night football. So maybe our most loyal of listeners will hear it, but Cleveland +3.5. It's just one of my favorite picks of the week. Basically just a bunch of spots that I love to play. Buy low on the Browns, sell high on the Steelers, who are coming off of a very physical, tough game against the Ravens and are on a short week, whereas the Browns basically just got throttled in the second half of their game. So feel like there's a little bit of a difference in those two situations. And then also a home divisional dog in the Browns. Also not to mention the AFC North stat as well. So and the low over-under. Just multiple reasons why I want to play this Cleveland side. Also, Pittsburgh is a big public favorite this week. So Yeah, again, all those reasons are all pointing me to the Browns. So they're one of my five picks in the week. Again, put in the Facebook group, put on Twitter as well. So don't have much to say. It's literally just every single thing that I love to play is this Cleveland Browns team tonight. So that is why they're in my five for the week.
Yeah, 100% makes sense. All the trends are going to point you that way. And, there's actually some matchup stuff on the field that you could point to that the Browns probably have an advantage of as well. I think the only reason that I would have a little weary is just because of the weather situation. I feel like it's just going to screw things up on both sides, and it makes it hard to tell what's going to happen. I feel like, just like one or two plays is going to end up making the difference in this spread because of potential weather shenanigans tonight. I don't know. I have actually checked recently, but coming into today, it was expected to be snowy, about 30, 35 degrees and like 15 to 20 mile an hour winds, which is pretty significant for a football game. So beyond that analysis, I think Cleveland's the right side to be on. I think I'd probably just rather play the under 37 turn on the pregame coverage, right now, and see if it looks like shit. If the wind is 20 plus, bet the under. It almost always hits when that's the case. Vikings at Bears first game on Sunday. Sorry, go ahead.
Nope, I was just going to say wind doesn't look too bad, but it does look like there's going to be a high chance of precipitation, and it's going to be around 40 degrees. So, yeah, even with lighter winds, it's still going to be a pretty big weather game.
Yeah, wind is the most important one, though. Rain and snow, not actually that big of a deal when you look at it, but sustained wind definitely makes passing the ball a lot harder. Sort of makes sense, but anyway.
For sure.
Just ride with the Browns if the wind is not a factor. Minnesota at Chicago, very similar game here, honestly, to the Thursday night one from a capping perspective. Vikings, 3.5-point road favorites against their division rival Chicago Bears. Over-under, a disgusting under 40, 39.5. Matt Eberflus, the stats pretty much encapsulates his career as a head coach so far. 1-14 straight up against teams with a win percentage above 60. That is the worst of any coach with at least 15 games since 2000. Cody, I'm going to throw this one to you because you liked the Browns in the previous divisional gross slow over-under matchup. How are you feeling about the Bears this week?
Yeah, the Bears are just one of those teams that it sucks with how many buys there are because there's not too many games that I could just say I don't want to be on this game. But I think this is one where I'm just going to have to give up on. You're right. This is a spot I would love to play Chicago, home divisional dog. Not necessarily a buy low, sell high for either team. But my biggest fear in this game is just I don't know where Chicago is going to be at as a team. They were very, very close to beating their true divisional rival in the Green Bay Packers. Obviously, a blocked field goal stopped that from happening. A lot of stuff has come out, with players kind of talking about coaching and talking about this or that. So I don't know. I just don't know where the Chicago team is going to be when it comes to Sunday. I do like what I saw out of the offense compared to what we were seeing previously. Caleb was getting the ball out of his hands a lot faster, felt a little bit more comfortable in the offense, or at least looked a little bit more comfortable in the offense. And you could possibly say the opposite about Sam Darnold. He has kind of slowly gotten worse, as most people would have expected with Sam Darnold. No one, I guess, thought that he was going to be phenomenal for the entire season. So I don't have a great read on it. Like you said, in the spots that I like to play, it would be Chicago. I don't have a lot of faith in the coaching discrepancy that you're going to see in this game, as well as the Minnesota pass rush getting on Caleb Williams. I don't know. I'm off of the game, but you're right. I would want to be on Chicago.
I like the under 39.5. Sure. I might get there by Sunday or by Saturday. We'll see. Maybe I'll have some weather shenanigans in Chicago too, which would only help this play. I think basically your cap of this game leads itself to the under on its own. Caleb Williams, like you said, very likely to struggle against a Minnesota defense that's just been generally awesome. First in EPA per play, first in success rate overall. They're top five in pressure rate as well. That is just a really bad matchup for Caleb, who has struggled very mightily with pressure. That has been highly publicized so far in his career. Hard to see Minnesota not bringing an absolute shit ton of it against him this Sunday, because they've done it to better O-lines than this pretty consistently all year. And then on the other side, like you said, Darnold's been slowing down. This is a tough defense on the road in division. Hard to see him going in there and lighting up the scoreboard. I could easily see a 21-13 style game here between the Vikes and the Bears. So yeah, I think under 39 is my early lean. There are some other games I actually like here, so I don't know if it's going to make my five, but it's definitely in contention.
Yeah, absolutely. I think under 39.5 is the right play if you're looking for some way to get some action on this game.
Pros, let's see the spread on the under. I just had it up. It is pretty telling. 15% of bets on the under, 54% of money. So
15% of bets. Who is expecting the Chicago offense to like light it up? What in the world? Yeah,
people like betting overs, Cody. It's just people like betting on stuff to happen versus not happen. Lions at Colts. Lions 7.5-point road favorites, over under 50.5. Since 2003, teams to win by 35 plus and be 4 plus point favorites the following week are 23-37 against the spread. All of the trends are going to point you to the Colts, but I'm not sure I'm going to get there. Cody, how do you feel about this one?
Yeah, Detroit -7.5 might end up making it into my five. We've talked plenty on this podcast about how good this Lions team is, but so I'm not just going to sit here and continue to kind of hammer a dead horse. But Detroit's phenomenal. Indy is – they're very up and down, as you'd expect, with the quarterback situation that they have. The only thing that I would say is kind of scaring me a little bit off of this Detroit number is just working through my model statistics, one thing that really surprised me is this Indianapolis offensive line is actually pretty solid. They're one of the top offensive lines that, at least that's what the statistics are showing me. So obviously Detroit, no Aiden Hutchinson, not able to generate as much of a pass rush. So that's the only thing that's maybe keeping me off of it, but I just see Detroit probably running through another team. This is definitely not one that scares me off of it. Let me look up Detroit's schedule real quick. I'm curious who they play next week. They play the Bears. Oh yeah, on Thanksgiving. So like that's not a look ahead spot. They're not looking ahead to the Bears. Maybe next week when they have to look ahead to the Packers.
Point favorites. I mean, right.
That's maybe a spot where you don't want to play the Lions. But this is just another game where I just feel like the Colts are going to be completely outmatched. And you know, if you're basically hoping Anthony Richardson does some amazing things, and I would say you're probably looking at like a 30% chance of that actually happening. So Detroit -7.5, I do like quite a bit. Not fully there yet, but definitely in contention.
Yeah, it's almost definitely going to be in for me. I think it'll be 7 by game time too. This number keeps heading down. The books are taking a lot of Lions money, and I guess they're comfortable with it. A lot of sharp bettors, basically every sharp bettor I've listened to so far, quote unquote, has really liked the Colts so far, and it's basically all trend based. I don't really care about the trends in this situation. This Detroit team is just different. Me and Cody have been harping on that over and over throughout the year. I think with the Lions, you need to answer a question before you can bet on the other side, and that is, can this team hit the Lions fastball, which is running up the middle with David Montgomery or Jahmyr Gibbs? And I don't think they can. This is their last three games rushing. The rushing numbers against them: Breece Hall, 16-78 in the score. Not a lot of volume, but very solid per carry numbers. The Bills, 31 carries, 135 yards, 2 scores. Minnesota, 32 carries, 133 yards. Not a lot of volume there. Not a ton of efficiency, but that's kind of how Minnesota's rush attack has rolled. Mm-hmm. For reference, so that New England 2017 is kind of the last example of we have of just a ridiculous team running through the NFL, like winning by 3+ scores pretty much every week. And Detroit's not as good as they were, but I think they're pretty close. That's kind of the main point that I have with how good I think this team really is. The New England going into week 12 against a 4-6 Philadelphia team that was starting their backup quarterback, and it was in New England, but still Andy Reid was the coach. They ended 8-8. This is not a terrible team. I think a pretty decent comp for this Colts squad, starting, you know, Anthony Richardson at 5-6 at this point in the year. It's not a perfect comp, but it's somewhat there. They were 24.5-point favorites in that game in 2007. We're getting the Lions at 7.5 against a Colts team that just does this. I don't know. They're mediocre, and the Lions are going to run through mediocre, in my opinion. So I'm going to wait for a 7. Keeps heading down. I'll just let the books are some reason fading the Lions again. They've been getting cleaned up all year, but Yeah, under 10, pretty much, I would probably take the Lions. I just think I'm going to get a better number, so I'm not betting it yet.
Yep, I'm right there with you. I honestly, those stats just got me even more excited about the Lions. So there's a good chance they make my five as well.
They can't stop the run. I mean, they're going to get steamrolled on offense. So I mean, you're going to, it's basically, will Anthony Richardson go out and score three more touchdowns, maybe even four on offense? Like, if you want to bet on that, great. But I will gladly fade that happening because, you know, it's big plays or nothing with him a lot of the time. Even though he did look good last week against the Jets.
Yep.
Next week, fading the Lions on Thanksgiving against the Bears. That may be a good look because we'll be getting a huge number, and the Lions historically have not played very well at Thanksgiving, even like last year when they were good. Patriots at the Dolphins. Dolphins 7.5-point home favorites, over under 46. Miami 8-0 against the spread against the Pats since 2020. They have absolutely dominated this matchup of late. Cody, I do have a lean here, but I want to hear what you think first.
Yeah, I honestly don't know. I want to go Miami just because of the spot that they're in. Obviously, in a must-win situation, if they're going to look to try and make any kind of run for the seventh seed in the AFC, the Patriots probably, you know, not necessarily. I mean, they're playing tough. They're not like, you know, absolutely selling on the season, but I don't know. I feel like Miami. It's in Miami. The New England has, even through the Brady and Belichick years, have struggled down in Miami. So I don't know. Just something weird about this game wants me to be on the Dolphins. I'm not fully there yet to consider it for my five, but maybe a slight lean towards Miami. If it gets bet down to where it's just a touchdown, I'd feel a little bit better. But even at 7, 7.5, I don't know. Like, we've seen a couple of games in a row where Drake Mays ended the game on an interception. Like, wouldn't be surprised if they're down two scores and instead of an interception, Drake May finds a way to, you know, score a touchdown at the end of the game to kind of have a backdoor cover. So that's what's scaring me off of it for now, but slight lean towards the Miami side.
Yeah, I like the Pats here, honestly. Yeah,
don't blame you.
For a lot of the reasons you laid out at the end there, just because I believe in Drake May, essentially. I think he looks good. I think he can move the ball against this Miami team, and I just don't trust this Miami offense. I think a lot of people will look at the score line last week and think that, you know, they may be back to, you know, having a great offense. They scored 34 points. They beat the Vegas Raiders by 15 last week. This is kind of what we saw from them last year, taking care of bad teams at home by big margin. But looking at the game a little deeper, if you actually watched it, this was not a blowout by any means. The Raiders, 328 total yards to 353 for the Dolphins, 22 first downs to 25, 8 of 14 on third down to 8 of 12. Both were 2 of 2 on fourth down. It really came down to one broken play, which was the touchdown to Jonnu Smith for 57 yards from the Dolphins. I don't know if you saw this play, but basically they just did not cover him at all. Tua throws the ball up. Jonnu catches it like a punt and then runs like 35 more yards into the end zone. So, and it was a 5-point game late in the fourth quarter at that point, 3.5 minutes left. So I think that game is a lot closer than people kind of realize. And I think this Patriots team's better than this Raiders team that they just almost lost to at home. And you're getting the same number that you were last week. So I think I might take it. We'll see. There are some other games I like in a similar vein. So it's in contention, though.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, I don't really have that strong of a lean either way. Like Miami minus 7.5 is probably not coming close to my five. So I would say take Nick's advice on this one because he definitely has a stronger lean than I do on the opposite side.
Yep. Next game here, Tampa Bay at New York. The Giants 6-point home dogs here, over under 41.5. Kind of a unique situation here. Both teams coming off a bye. The under 21-11 the last decade in that spot. Baker Mayfield, only twice has he been a road favorite of 6 or more in his career, but he's 2-0 in that spot. Cody, I'm going to be straight off the top. I don't have basically anything in this game. An under trend would make me want to go there, but this opened at, I think, 44.5, so we've lost a lot of value on it. It's tumbled down because of probably that stat I just gave out right there. So, 41.5 is pretty low for a Bucks team that really likes to play over games. I don't know. I don't really have much here. What do you think?
Yeah, again, another one, maybe a slight lean towards Tampa Bay. The Giants obviously getting rid of Daniel Jones, putting Tommy DeVito in. I do think it's a little bit of a downgrade, but Daniel Jones has been so bad that it's like it's really not like that big of a difference. Tampa Bay -6 is where I start to lean. If Mike Evans, I know he practiced this week, if he ends up playing, I do like this Tampa Bay number. Yeah, so Tampa Bay -6. I don't mind it. Definitely going to be probably a public favorite. Definitely see a lot of money coming, or a lot of tickets and money probably coming in on them. I can't think about betting this Giants team with Tommy DeVito. If the Giants find a way to cover, it's either going to be a bad Baker game or some kind of lucky BS is going to come through for the Giants for them to cover this number. So leaning Tampa Bay, probably in consideration for the 5, but not a super strong lean as of tonight.
Yeah, I don't mind Tampa in this spot. It is a public road favorite, but that number's been climbing. I think it opened at 3.5, 4. Then after the DeVito news, it jumped another point, and it has continued to rise all the way to Tampa -6. So the books are desperately trying to get some money on the Giants here. They keep raising the number, and people still come in on the Bucs. So if it's under 7, it's not a bad look for Tampa. I think it might get to 7. So if you want to bet the Giants, I'd wait. And if you want to bet Tampa, I'd probably grab it now. It's not going to end up in my 5, but this is a favorite that I actually like this week, which is few and far between. Cowboys at Commanders. Commanders 10.5-point home favorites, over under 45. Last 20 years, Cowboys 17-21 against the spread versus Washington. With Dak Prescott, they are 10-3. So anybody else, 7-18 against the spread as a Cowboys quarterback versus the Washington Commanders / Redskins the last 20 years. This is a huge line for a divisional game. I might have considered it the Commanders here if it was under 10, but now at 10.5. I don't know. I'm not really in on betting the Commanders here at that number, and I can't give the people the advice to bet Cooper Rush on the road in this situation with a terrible defense. So I'm just completely off this game.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm in a sleeper pick'em league, and I ended up taking the Dallas plus the points last week against the Texans. That obviously didn't pan out, but yeah, from what I saw, this Cowboys team just looks bad. I know, I believe CD had kind of a midweek injury. I don't know. I didn't see his practice reports today. But, I mean, if he were to be out, this Dallas offense is just going to be even worse than they already are. So, yeah, I'm with you. Probably would want to be on Washington. But I just don't think there's going to be enough bets or money coming in on this Dallas side to push this number down. It's probably going to be 10.5, 11. And
it's been climbing.
At that, it's probably a stay away from me. Wouldn't mind seeing the under 45. Just this Washington offense hasn't been as prolific since Jaden Daniels had the rib injury. So I could see them, even if they put up 28, like I don't know if Dallas is getting enough points to even, get to the other side of that over. So I would consider the under 45, but for now, that's probably my strongest lean.
Yeah. If you want to ride with Cody's under, go that way. But otherwise, I think we are fine staying off the spread here. Kansas City Chiefs, 11-point road favorites against the Carolina Panthers in Raleigh. Over under 42 points in this one. Cody, I'm gonna throw it to you. I'd like to see what your temperature is at as a Kansas City Chiefs fan right now, and what you think of their chances of covering the spread in this game are.
Not good. I mean, I would take Carolina plus 11. Probably gonna end up in my 5. I know the Carolina Panthers was on the ban list for a while, but anytime I can fade this current iteration of the Chiefs team as a big favorite, I'm going to continue to do it. It's worked out very well for us this year. Probably one of the best bets that we've had all year if you look at our entire record. So, with the over-under of 42, I mean, they're putting the Panthers at an implied points total of 15.5. I mean, I guess that's probably about right with this KC defense. But, I mean, Bryce Young looks a little bit more comfortable, obviously probably playing a little bit more loose, knowing that his time in Carolina is probably coming to an end and needs to put something on film for another team to maybe give him a shot. So, I don't know. It's tough for me because I know this Panthers team has really come back and bitten us multiple times. But on the other side of that, I love betting against this KC team as a favorite of more than a touchdown, and it's worked out very well. So leaning on the Panther side, don't feel confident at all with the Chiefs covering. You know, with that being said, maybe this is the week where the Panthers just get absolutely blown out. And of course I'll be probably on the side when they do get blown out again, but I don't know. As we sit here tonight, I don't know how you could feel confident betting the Chiefs as that big of a favorite.
Yeah, Carolina plus 11 is a great play. It'll probably be in my five as well. Kansas City, 0-4 against the spread in their last four games. I don't really think it is properly hashed out how badly they have played in their last four games overall. Buffalo, they got their ass kicked in basically every metric there was. Third down efficiency, total yards, passing yards, rushing yards, total plays, time of possession, turnovers, all of them advantage Buffalo in that game. Kansas City basically lost a game to the Denver Broncos at home. Block kick, great, good for you. But at the end of the day, that doesn't really tell you much about the larger course of how the game went. They should have lost it. Tampa Bay had to get into overtime to beat Tampa Bay with no Evans, no Godwin, and no McMillan, basically not any starting wide receivers on their team, and they got them to overtime in their building. And then a cover against, or I guess the Vegas Raiders covered against them. You could say they played okay in that game, but still, it's the Raiders, and they only won by 7. And for the Panthers, like you said, Bryce Young, probably playing with a little house money these days. He kind of knows he's not going to be the quarterback here moving forward. And he's looked okay the past couple games. He has been regular bad, not, you know, can't even move an offense forward bad like it was last year. And that's kind of why we kept getting screwed on those numbers, because Young just couldn't even operate an NFL offense. Yep. And, you know, these games would just snowball because he would just go 3 and out, 3 and out, 3 and out, and the defense couldn't hold up. I think he'll be able to move the ball in this one, especially because they have Adam Thielen coming back. They're off a bye. They should be really healthy. Their offensive line is now good. It is actually a good unit. So we've got Adam Thielen, we've got Xavier Leggett, first-round pick on the outside, who's looked pretty good so far this year. Jalen Coker, some kid they pulled out of a late-round pick that's actually been pretty productive. Jonathan Brooks, expected back as well, should add another element to this team that's already been running the ball very well with their number one running back, Chuba Hubbard. I know KC has a great run D, but Carolina presents some issues for anybody. I think they'll be able to run the ball at least somewhat. Maybe not as effectively as they have all year, but hard to hold them down completely. But yeah, plus 11 is just too big of a number. Like you said, KC has won 9 games this year. They've won 1 game by at least this total. So yep. I don't know how you possibly bet the Chiefs at 11. I like the Panthers plus 11, and you know, just because I'm a gambling man, I might throw a little on their money line as well.
Yeah, of course you will. I was ready for that. Ready for that line to come out.
I could just see this being an overlooked spot here for the Chiefs. They play at home against the Raiders on Friday after Thanksgiving. They probably think they're just going to walk in here and roll this Carolina team, but who knows? I'll take them plus 11 though for sure.
Yep.
Titans at Texans. Texans 8-point home favorites, over under 41.5. Lots of divisional battles this week. Titans 9-23-2 against the spread the last two calendar years. That is the worst in the NFL. No other team has fewer than 10 covers in that span. Cody, I'm going to throw this one to you. I think you probably know where I'm going to go here, but I don't feel good about it.
Okay. Now that you said that, I'm assuming that you're on the Tennessee side. Would that be right?
That would be right.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I mean, this Houston team didn't look phenomenal against what we just ripped the Cowboys for how bad their team looks, and the Texans didn't really dominate them until late when they got a defensive touchdown, and then Joe Mixon just kind of ran away with the game. I mean, Joe Mixon's been really good, don't get me wrong, this year, but this Tennessee defensive line, I think they're going to be able to, you know, slow them down a little bit, and we're going to have to see if C.J. Stroud can, you know, be the C.J. Stroud of last year, or, you know, if he's going to kind of continue this little bit of a roller coaster ride that he's been on. Obviously, Nico Collins being back for a second week maybe will help him out with that. But, yeah, it's a divisional battle. Obviously, kind of a battle of Houston, if you want to say, with the Houston Oilers moving to Tennessee. So I always feel like there's always a little bit of added rivalry in this matchup. Kind of same thing with Bryce Young. Like, Will Levis is just playing with house money. He's looked slightly a little bit better over the past couple of weeks. Still, you know, not really an NFL quarterback, but not you know, not like he was the first couple weeks where he was literally being memed with a turnover every single week. So, I could see Tennessee putting, you know, at least keeping this game close, maybe having a chance towards the end. And I think it really comes down to their defensive line. If their defensive line can hold Mixon to, you know, a below average game for him, then that's their recipe for being able to cover the spread. So I agree with you. I want to be on Tennessee +8. It's tough. It stinks having to back Will Levis, but I think that this is just the right spot to do it.
Yeah, they're 1-9 ATS so far this year, so it's scary. They are the worst team in the NFL by far, but I think because of that, you're probably getting a couple points of value on their line at any given time because they have just been destroying books so far this year. But yeah, I like the matchup for Titans on the field. I think their strong interior on the defensive line can help slow Mixon, like you said, and get pressure on CJ. With the Houston line, O-line has not been very good this year, so I think that's a bit of a mismatch. And then on the other side, Houston's defense has been really good. I don't really have much to say for the Titans offense in support of them. If I end up on Tennessee, I'm just going to hope that Will Levis doesn't ruin the game for us and he can score 14 to 17 points. And with catching eight, that should get you there because this is an over-under 40.5, and it has been heading down all week. This is another game where there are some kind of advanced models that really point to an under here. And that's the reason, yeah, it's been falling. I think this was another one. It was at like 43, 44 earlier this week. It's only at 40.5. So if you're getting 8 full points in a game that isn't going to have a lot of scoring, it's even harder to cover those spreads. So I think it's just a good number. And the books are going to get theirs at some point. You know, the Titans are not going to end up 1-16 against the spread this year. They're going to win a spread game at some point. Maybe not. This wouldn't be one I'd be betting the money line, but I think the Titans might be a good look. Next one here, another divisional battle, Broncos at Raiders. Denver, 6-point road favorites. God, I love that we're good now. Over under 41. Denver, even after winning and covering against Vegas earlier this season, is 2-12 against the spread versus Vegas in their last 14. Cody, I'm a little biased, so I'm going to let you go first. I actually don't really have a play on this game anyway, but go ahead.
Yeah, I don't have a play on it either because for all the reasons that I'm taking the Browns tonight, I should be on this Vegas team, but I cannot get myself to do it. I just feel, again, I say this probably every single week when we talk about the Broncos, but Sean Payton is just way too good of a coach to feel comfortable betting against him when they're playing a bad team. So, yeah, I mean, I couldn't take Denver -6 either as a road divisional favorite, but I can't get behind this Vegas team. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I could see this game going any which way. Like, if you told me that Vegas found a way to squeak this one out at the end, wouldn't be that surprised. If you told me Denver just steamrolled them, again, wouldn't be that surprised. It is a little bit of a buy low, sell high with Denver coming off a massive just blowout of the Falcons. And then Vegas, I guess maybe not too, like we talked about earlier, not necessarily too much of a buy low. They didn't have a terrible game against the Dolphins. Maybe if you just looked at the final score, you would think that, but yeah, I don't know. I'm away from this game. I can't be decisive about what I think is going to happen.
Yeah, I had the Raiders earlier this year against my Broncos and they failed me for the first time in a while. And I think the smart money would be going back to them here, at least historically, but I don't know if I can get there. I think what we might have here is, you kind of alluded to it throughout your analysis there, is just one actually pretty good team and one really, really bad team. And if that's the case, you know, no amount of trends or anything else is really going to make up the difference there. And there's a reason. This is another game. There has been some crazy line movement in a few of these games. This is another one of them. Denver, 6-point favorites now. It's trending towards 6.5 at some books, and it was at 4 to start the week. And the spread on this money, 78% of bets on Denver, but 92% of money. So sharps and public on Denver here, and the books responding accordingly. That is kind of what you look for when you know, you want to know where they think this game is going. They're desperately trying to get some Vegas money on the books because they think Denver has a good chance to kind of win going away here. They're just keep increasing the number. And again, yeah, so if you want to bet Denver, do it now. I think it could be 7 by game time. If you want to bet Vegas, go ahead and wait. You'll get a better number for yourself. But you're just back in trends. I don't think there's one matchup you could point to on this in this game and be like, the Vegas Raiders might have an advantage here. It's like, no, they really want to throw the ball with Minshew a lot because they can't run it, but that is not what you want to do against Denver because they have a great secondary and they will pressure the hell out of Minshew and make him make mistakes. So it's a horrible matchup on paper, and looks like the Sharps agree with us. So I would probably be on Denver, but I just can't. It's that I have too many scars from Vegas just always beating us the past 6 years for me to put it in my five, but I think that's probably where you want to be.
Yeah, absolutely. Also, just in hindsight, like, how in the world did the Raiders let go of Josh Jacobs and think that who was the other guy? I can't. Alexander Mattison and
Zamir White.
Zamir White. I knew it was White. I could not remember his first name because he's been completely irrelevant for basically the entire season. Like you had either Aiden O'Connell or Gardner Minshew, which both of them are going to need a good run game to be able to win games, and you let someone who is at least performing well in Green Bay just walk out the door to, you know, have this kind of, you throw in Mir Abdullah in there as well, and everyone else that they're just kind of rotating in at the running back position. Just the Raiders franchise is, they just make some of the most moronic moves that you can see. And it's just, again, baffling to me that they let a good running back out the door and then expected either Minshew or Aiden O'Connell to carry this team for a season.
Yeah, honestly, I'm all for not paying running backs myself, but they didn't have much of a plan. If you're going to let Jacobs walk, I would hope you're drafting somebody in the third or fourth round that has a chance to be a good running back, or at least signing some veteran competition that's more than Alexander Mattison, who is a career backup. And I think, as we've seen, anytime he's gotten the reins of an offense, he is a career backup for a reason. So, Zamir White,
I think
eggs in that basket.
I think I still owe you a beer on our Alexander Mattison bet from last year.
Yeah, you were a big Alex Mattison guy last year. I remember that.
Yeah, that was a bad look now.
0 touchdowns. Niners at Packers. This is a good one. Packers 2-point home favorites, over under 47.5. This is Brock Purdy's first regular season game start as an underdog. That's 31 straight games before this. That he was a favorite, and actually he's only been an underdog in one game in his career overall. Obviously that would mean he was in the playoffs, and that was the game in Philly where he blew up his elbow like immediately. So he really has not played a game as an underdog in his career so far, which is kind of crazy because he's going on probably about 40 starts if we include the playoffs. Kyle Shanahan, somebody you want to back after he blows a lead, after he loses a game in which he led by at least 4+ points. I believe this is the last like 3 years, 10-1 straight up, 9-2 against the spread. So he bounces back well. Cody, I'm going to say, that's where I want to be right off the jump. San Francisco +2. I know we've gotten burned the last 2 weeks. We've traded off. I guess actually both of us took them 2 weeks ago, and then you took them last week. So we're 0-3 as a pod betting the Niners the last 2 weeks. Sounds impossible, but it's true. But I still like him here. +2. Getting Kittle back, like I said, I think he is a huge deal to this offense. 2 weeks ago, we lost that cover because of some shenanigans in the game, not because the Niners didn't play well. They dominated the Bucks last week. They played badly against the Seahawks with no Kittle and a Deebo Samuel. I hope he is getting more healthy. I think he's just not right from that abdomen injury he had earlier this year. So hopefully he's healthier. But if Kittle's back, that's what I need here. I think Green Bay is just a good team. I don't think they're great. The Niners go out and play a football, they're gonna win because they have a higher end as a team, in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's trending towards no Nick Bosa, which is a big loss for this Niners defense, who
that sucks.
Also has not been playing super super well so far this season. But yeah, I think you're right. I think I'd want to be on San Francisco in this game as well. Honestly, I just on the Green Bay side, you're gonna get maybe some heroics and at least one turnover out of Jordan Love. I think he's thrown a pick in every single game this season. So, I mean, if you get another pick out of Jordan Love in this game, you're going to feel good as a Niners backer. Honestly, I'm going to look up, what's the Green Bay weather looking like? I know it can get a little wonky this time of year. Let's see what we're looking at on Sunday.
I feel like that might almost help the Niners.
Yeah, no, absolutely. 100%. Nothing too crazy. No crazy wind, no crazy precipitation. So, yeah, I'm with you. I want to be on the Niners as well. Don't necessarily have too strong of a lean that way. But yeah, if they get Kittle back, that helps him in the run game and in the pass game. And then, like you said, hopefully with Debo, he just, you know, whatever it is, if it's still the abdomen injury or whatnot, hopefully he just gets a little bit more right for this game. But yeah, I don't feel too comfortable backing this Packers team as a favorite against a team that I think, like you said, if they play in a game, the Niners have a really good chance of, you know, winning this game by potentially two scores. So, yeah, slight lean towards San Francisco, maybe not as strong as you are, but I'm with you on the same side.
Yeah, just popped a three, actually, for Green Bay. So if we're getting a full three on the Niners, I am almost certainly going to be on that. Unless there was some sort of bad news on the injury report that came in that I haven't seen yet. Maybe that's why. But if that's not the case, then a full three would be it would be in there for sure. We'll just see. Yeah, they have some injuries, like you said, that we have to be sussed out between now and Saturday. Cardinals at Seahawks. Arizona, 1-point road favorites here, over under 47.5. Kyler Murray in the division in his career, not very successful. 9-14-2 against the spread, and that's including 4-2-1 against the Niners. So he is 5-12-1 against the Seahawks and the Rams in his career against the spread. Not ideal. God, it's anyone's guess what the hell is going to happen in this game. I have next to no interest in putting a money down. This is as much flipping a coin as you can get betting an NFL game, in my opinion. It's just like, I could see any number of arguments here. I don't want to touch it.
Yeah, I'm with you on this one. This one's a skip for me. I mean, the line's gone back and forth. I think the Cardinals opened up as a favorite. We got bet down to where they were an underdog, and now on FanDuel, they're currently a 1.5-point favorite. So this game's just going back and forth. I don't have a strong read on it either way. I kind of similar to last week. I could see the Seahawks being in it right to the very end. And then on the other side, you know, same thing. This is going to be a very close game. I don't see either team blowing each other out. And yeah, and you know, maybe if what I thought was going to happen and the Seahawks got blown out by the Niners last week, I might have a little bit more interest in them. But in a coin flip game with a divisional rival or opponent, I don't know how big their rivalry is, but definitely just staying away from this game.
Yeah, I just don't know how the hell to value the Arizona Cardinals as a team. They are very hard to read. I mean, they've actually played a really tough schedule. I got to give them some credit.
Yeah, absolutely.
At Buffalo versus Detroit, at San Fran, at Green Bay, at Miami versus the Chargers. They have a lot of quality opponents on their schedule versus Washington in there too. So maybe they're just a better team than I think they are, but I don't know if I believe in them enough to bet them as a favorite on the road against a quality Seattle opponent. It's a lot to ask. We've seen Kyler struggle in these type of spots so far this year. That at Green Bay game comes to mind. And then they won that at San Francisco, but that was because Moody got hurt in the middle of the game and kind of ruined the Niners, you know, offense towards the end of the game without having a kicker. So anyway, yeah, just a tough spot to read. If you want to back one side or the other, go ahead, but I don't really have a lean here.
Yeah, I will, before we skip, I was going to say I may get to the under 47.5. The weather in Seattle as of right now doesn't look too good for game time, so maybe just a play that I make. I don't think it makes my five just because the weather can be a little shaky between Saturday when we record and Sunday when this kicks off.
Yeah, that's something you bet right before kickoff. Yeah,
100%. Yeah, just wanted to point that out.
Yeah, could be a good look. Take a look at the wind and the rain in Seattle. Always a potential factor. Sunday Night Football. This is another good one. Eagles at Rams. Eagles 3-point road favorites, over under 49 points. Sunday Night Football unders since 2022, 34-13, including 8-3 this season. Been a very consistent trend the past couple of years. Primetime spots in general last year, but now it's just Sunday Night Football specifically has been extremely correlated to the under the past couple of years. I don't know what that says about this game, but God, Cody, I'm going to let you go here. I might be just riding with Joe Public in this one.
Oh gosh. What side is the Public on? Philly?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know. If you be talking about it from a football perspective, yeah, I would probably be on the Philadelphia side as well. I don't know. I like this Rams team more than I feel like most people do, and it's probably not as deserving as it should be. So I maybe have a slight bias towards this Ram team, which is probably just going to take me off this game entirely. But from a football perspective, the Eagles should be able to, you know, play well on offense. And then on the defensive side, they have just completely shut down the wide receiver position over the past few weeks. Obviously, Quinyon Mitchell and then Cooper DeJean getting put into the starting lineup. They've been a very good dynamic duo at the cornerback position. So if the Rams are going to beat you, it's going to be Cooper Kupp, Puka Nacua, and then mixing in Kyren Williams as well. So yeah, I don't know. Probably staying away. Honestly, don't hate the under just because I see the Rams offense maybe struggling in this one a little bit, but yeah. I can't get to a side as of right now.
Yeah, I think that's the look. It's a little square because of the number I referenced when off the jump there, but I think the under 49 is a good look. I love the matchup of the Eagles defense versus the Rams offense. I think their front seven is going to really outplay the offensive line of the Rams in this one. And then, those two cornerbacks emerging really helps them deal with the major advantage the Rams have over most team, having two elite wide receivers. So I could easily see them struggling. And then the Eagles offense versus the Rams defense, I just don't even know how to value that matchup. The Eagles offense has been good lately. They've been scoring a lot of points, but I mean, God, if you've watched these games, like the Washington game last week, they were not good. They had 6 points entering the fourth quarter, and then two long Saquon rushing touchdowns at the end made it look a lot better than it really was throughout basically the whole game. And that Washington defense in Philly, like that, I don't know. I think they should have had a better time there. So I just don't really know how to value that side of it. But if you're telling me, you know, this Rams team, I could see them scoring, you know, 17, 20 points. That means the Eagles got to cover 30 of this over-under. That's probably where I'd go here. The line at 3 seems right, so I don't want to play the side. I'll stick with the under 49.
Yeah. Also, we'll mention Devontae Smith, at least two straight practices with a DNP due to his hamstring injury. Okay. So if he doesn't practice Friday and he's still questionable going into the weekend, he may not play, and then that just makes this under even more enticing as well. So I feel like, yeah, that's definitely the strongest lean I have in this game.
Another fun one here, another LA night game. Baltimore at the Chargers, the Harbaugh over under 51 points. Should be a juicy back and forth game here. Lamar 25-6 against the spread as a favorite of 3 or less or an underdog. So he is absolutely money in these spots where he's not laying a big number. This is another one. These two night games, the Sunday night, Monday night football, awesome games. They should be really fun. I have some worries about the Rams and the Eagles actually shooting out, but the over-under is 49, so Vegas clearly thinks they will. And then this one, I think these games are going to be awesome. I'm having a lot of trouble getting to sides here, though. I think these numbers are right.
Yeah.
A field goal seems correct for both the road teams. I could see reasons to bet the home teams, but I don't know if I can really get there. I think I might just sit back and enjoy these games rather than having, large sides here. So what do you think?
Yeah, I'm very, very excited for this game. I think it's going to be a lot of fun, but with the numbers perfect right at 3. I mean, if it was – I just feel this game's going to end up at a late field goal. And if it was 2.5, I would favor the Ravens a little bit more. If it was 3.5, I'd favor the Chargers a little bit more. But right at 3, this number is perfect. Also going to be very cool because we're going to get one of those sped up videos of the team at SoFi changing out all the Rams stuff and putting the Charger stuff on. So looking forward to seeing that video come out at some point on Monday. That'll be fun to watch. But I don't have a strong lean. And this is honestly a really interesting game because we've mentioned a lot about the Chargers struggles in the second half and the Baltimore defense struggles in the second half. So it'll probably just come down to which one can prevail from what their season has been so far. So, can't get to a side. Honestly, I know it's crazy, but over 50.5, I don't necessarily hate it. I mean,
yeah,
the Chargers should be able to throw on this bad Ravens secondary, especially if Kyle Hamilton's out in this game, which
I did not see their practice report today, but I know it's kind of trending towards he may be out. And then this Baltimore offense is tough to bet against. And, you know, kind of the opposite of where the Steelers are at tonight. You know, Baltimore gets that extra time to rest after a very physical game against the Steelers, which is probably going to be huge for their team as a whole. So, yeah, honestly, over 50.5 will probably interest me. Not going to make the five too big of a number to bet on and feel confident about, but come Monday night, it'll probably be the bet that I make on the game and just hope for a bunch of points to be scored.
Yeah, I mean, if you want any reason to bet on the over, just go ahead and watch that Sunday night game last week. The Ravens and the Bengals honestly have like a ton of similarities, on both sides of the ball. They both have horrible secondaries that allow a ton of big plays, and they both defend the run pretty well. Baltimore is better at defending the run, a lot better than the Bengals, but that's like their defenses are pass funnels, and then they have two all-pro quarterbacks that, you know, go up and down the field on offense. So, it just obviously is a perfect recipe for over. Even at 51, a high total on a standalone game with two defensively-minded head coaches. I mean, yeah, everything else screams over in this game, though. That'd be the only way I'd go. I don't really like Baltimore if it gets under three, like you said, or the Chargers above three is probably the way to go. Cody, do you have anything else? Do you want to run through a couple sides you're leaning towards early here?
Sure, absolutely. Obviously got Cleveland plus 3.5 tonight. By the time you're listening to this, we'll probably already have that one decided.
Lock that in as your – is that in your five?
Yes. Okay. Yep, it's locked cool. in. Put it on Twitter. Put it on the Facebook group. So if you are following or in the That's group, right. you knew ahead of this podcast. So can't come back and get me on that one. Detroit minus 7.5, definitely. Probably 100% in there as of right now. Tampa Bay minus 6, slight lean there. Carolina plus 11 is going to be in the five as well. Tennessee plus 8 in consideration. Honestly, the more that I'm looking at it, Denver, Las Vegas under 41. It's a little bit gross, but kind of don't hate it. My only worry is this Denver team keeps it rolling, but I just love their defense against this Vegas offense.
Yeah.
San Fran plus 2. I know we're both considering. Rams, Philly, Sunday Night Football under 48.5. And then, not considering it for my five, but just a fun bet, the over in the Monday Night Football game, Baltimore at the Chargers, over 50.5.
Yeah. I don't really have too much to add. You hit on a lot of the ones I like as well. New England plus 7.5 is in consideration for me. I'm not buying this Dolphins team being back to where they were last year. And then Minnesota, Chicago under 39.5. I could easily see both of these offenses struggling in a cold weather game in the NFC North in November. That is a prime recipe for an under, in my opinion. But yeah, other than that, I agree with a lot of Cody's picks. We'll see where we end up on Saturday, though. Cody, you got anything else, or can we get out of here?
Yeah, nope, let's get out of here. We'll be back Saturday morning with our picks, so make sure to be ready for that one. And Nick, talk to you later. Peace out, everybody.
Peace.